How are you doing, black eye?
I have a black eye. I have a lip that got so burnt that it is blistered. My bottom lip.
How?
Because...
Who hurt you?
I was camping. I spent the whole entire day on the water on whatever day that was, Saturday or something. Yeah. I was getting off my floaty. It was the evening. Like, we'd been out there all day. I probably had sunstroke for sure. And I was trying to, like, grab things because we had a cooler on there. And it was this huge floaty, so we had, like, just a bunch of stuff on there. So I was trying to grab everything. And it was kind of slippery on the rocks. And I, like, cut my foot, which still hurts, by the way. I'm really in rough shape. And then I had this, like, big, heavy Bluetooth speaker. Like, not a mini one. Just, like, one of those JBL speakers. And it has a strap on it. And I had that on my wrist. And I don't know specifically, because I wasn't obviously thinking in this moment, but I, like, went to lift my hand up, or when I slipped, I kind of reacted by lifting my arms up. And the thing just, like, smoked me in the face so hard. It must have hit me.
Smoked you in the face?
In the eye socket right here. Like, I can feel the bruise right here. And it still hurts to touch, but it doesn't hurt to just, like, exist.
You should like a portrait with your black eye, just a straight. Like, you're just rocked, and you just take that, and that'll be the half of our photo for the podcast, the thumbnail. Yeah. It'll be great.
It's so stupid. And, like, I played it cool because I didn't want to be dramatic. And then a couple hours, maybe like an hour and a half later, we were sitting around the fire. And Sarah, my friend, looked at me and was like, "Do you have a black eye or something?" And I was like, "Oh my God. I bet you I do, from when I hit myself in the face with the freaking Bluetooth speaker." And then it just progressively got worse. And now it's going to be like this for like 2 weeks, but it's fine.
2 weeks?
Well, I feel like black eyes last a long time. I got one once on this side of my face. From falling directly from falling directly from the top of a set of stairs to the bottom without hitting any stairs on the way down, just landing on my face.
You just nosedived down a flight of stairs.
Yes.
Beautifully.
I actually hit my hip first and it split open, and then my face hit next, the top of my cheekbone. So I guess just never hit your cheekbones with anything hard. I don't know.
Well, you look fantastic, friend.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I feel fantastic looking.
It looks good on you with a shiner. And what are we drinking? Oh, please don't tell me that's one of those Canadian...
Caesars.
God, those are so gross.
It's in a great can. Have you never had one? Have you never had even a canned one? Like, the canned ones are not that good. What?
Clamato. I just, there's something about it. The sriracha. Ugh. Okay, we've had this conversation before. Yeah. I want every listener, all 8 of our listeners, to really think about the group of people that started inventing.
It happened in Calgary.
The baseline of cocktails. All right, gin and tonic. That makes sense. A little bit of bitter. A little bit of that herbal scents from the gin, you know, vodka soda, whiskey water, like whatever you're drinking.
Whiskey water.
Yeah, people do like whiskey water, just whiskey soda, like whatever it is. I don't know. The baseline drinks, the typical well drinks you can get at any bar. And then you hop 89 steps to behind you and you're like, you know, we should do tomato juice and some hot sauce. And vodka and a celery stick. It's like, what?
Excuse me, do you even know what Clamato is? You're missing one
Clamato.
Very important. You're missing one very
important. Clams in it? If it has clams in it, I'm signing off. I've heard that that's a thing. Like, people like clam
yes,
juice.
What do you think it is? Listen, Cole, let me tell you something.
Are there clams in it? Jasmine, tell me. Are there clams?
Clam
Are there
juice.
Clams?
Clam juice.
There's clam juice in there?
That's why it's called Clamato. Clam tomato.
Clamato. It's so fucking gross. It's so gross.
Hey, Cole, you guys have Bloody Marys, and those are American, and they're tomato.
They're
the
gross
same thing.
Too.
Yeah. Okay. Well, they're the same thing, except for they don't have clam. I will admit that like that does sound very gross, and it's kind of weird, but it's so tasty.
Okay. Well, I'm really glad you like them. It doesn't sound refreshing at fucking all for
it's definitely
over. What are you guys at, like 30 degrees Celsius? I can't do the math.
No, 42. It's we're 42? At 107 degrees Celsius. Or sorry,
it's about,
Fahrenheit.
It's about the same here.
Yeah, it's about the same. Do you want to know something actually cool? Can I tell you something?
I always want to.
Lytton, BC, which is just a couple hours away from here. It's in like kind of a more deserty area, like going in towards the interior of BC.
Sure.
It hit yesterday 46.6 degrees Celsius, which I really want to calculate quickly what that is in Fahrenheit for a second. It was the record-breaking temperature in Canada ever recorded. Hottest. 115.8 degrees Fahrenheit.
Jesus.
Pretty crazy, huh?
Portland, I think, hit 115. And
do you want to know what it is? I read about it yesterday.
I read about it, too. That's
like,
so
it's
funny.
It's like a heat dome?
Heat dome. It's a heat dome. It's the craziest. They were like, yeah, they happen like every 1,000 years. Like they're really rare, but as global warming progresses, it just will happen more and more often and be worse and worse.
Dude, that's crazy. And it, yeah. And it's like creating like compacted layers of heat. I don't. And then the crazy thing is that it doesn't really cool down at night because we're like trapped under this heat dome.
And there's no clouds.
Right, and there's no clouds.
Filter the sun at all. Right. So the sun also is just like, and then the heat just stays in this bubble.
Yeah, exactly.
And you just get it.
Anyway, I mean, we could go on about this forever, and people love hearing other people talk about the weather, I'm sure. But it really is crazy. It's a crazy freaking thing. It's a wild time, and I was a little hungover yesterday after our camping trip, and I was so hot, and I just wanted to die. Anyway, I mean, I guess we could get into this episode, but Cole, you know what? Okay, we haven't talked much because this thing happened now, where now that we're doing a podcast, we, like, don't speak to each other.
Yeah.
And, and that makes it's kind of sad. It's like we're not friends outside of this, but
hold up. We should explain the reason we don't talk to each other, because every time we talk to each other, we're like, no, we need to talk about this on the podcast.
Yeah, like that's the thing. I'm like, save it for the podcast. And then it just ends up being that we literally don't talk. So, but I have to say, over the weekend when I was camping, and maybe this is not something that people want to hear on a podcast that we've decided is about Bachelor content, I realize that I don't think I want to record podcasts about Bachelor content. I'm totally willing to see it through and like go through this because we started and we might as well. But like, I am very uninspired. As much as I like Katie and this season and whatever, I was never like a huge Bachelor fan to begin with. Mm. And it was fun talking about like my season with you because that's something that we could both obviously relate to because we know each other and whatever. But I don't know if I'm like that excited to get to chat. I love chatting to you. That's literally the only thing. We could talk about anything and I'd be like, this is fun. But this particular subject, I'm like, I'm not like super stoked to talk about it. I'm not even super excited to watch it. I think I realize that I'm just not a Bachelor fan. I'm just not a huge Bachelor fan.
It really, it's so nice to hear that because I fucking hate this show much. I don't like the manipulation. I don't like that, you know, and you know, I'm not trying to bastardize any of these guys that are on the show because they do seem like good people, but the thing is they keep every episode, every week, it's another guy that they're ostracizing and attacking and doing this, and they have their reasons and I understand them. But they're on here for the wrong reasons.
Well, that's the thing that's been.
And I'm like,
that's
you guys are all on a show in which you're publicly vying for a woman's love. Like, you all have your fucking reasons. Like,
I know.
You do not need to. Oh, I haven't been able to find love anywhere. Oh, fucking really? So you're gonna randomly be selected without ever having met someone before to compete against however many guys? To go
and they
on this
certainly
fucking
weren't,
show.
And they certainly weren't randomly selected. The process to get on the show is so extensive that, like...
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I feel you on this because I was thinking the same thing. I was like, okay, yeah, Thomas seems like a bit of a jackass. Like, I think he seems like a bit of a douche. Fine. But it's annoying that they focus on... Like, they find one piece of drama and they focus on it for so long.
Yeah.
The only saving grace in this scenario is that Katie gets rid of them right away, so she doesn't make us go through it for that long, which is awesome.
The producers must fucking hate her.
Either they hate her, or now they're watching and realizing that people appreciate her doing that.
Yes.
And they're like, oh yeah, this is what we should have always been doing. But yeah, they like try to like drive home this drama. Anyway, but I to get back to what I was saying, like I agree with you. I thought the same thing. I was like, these guys are obviously all... kind of on here for a reason that's not like strictly about finding love, unless they like really just liked Katie, and like that I can understand. But every single guy who goes on the show is probably thinking about the fact that they could be the next Bachelor.
Thank you. Like, of course they know how the selection process works.
Yeah, it's weird that they're acting so surprised. I don't know,
it's the fucking worst. I'm just like, I don't care how perfect of a guy you are, whether you selected yourself and submitted your own whatever essay to get onto the show, or someone else, you know, put you on. You decided to do it, and you know what that means, and you know the connotations that go with that. So it's interesting to hear these guys have a problem with someone who's just a little bit more open about it.
Either way, I mean, this whole episode was about that. And so that's another reason why I wasn't that excited to come on here and talk to you, because I was like, I just, like, what is there really to talk about? Like, I sure, let's get into it and we can talk about it. But like, I don't know. I think there's better things we can talk about than the show. I just, yeah. I'm in that headspace. I had like this clarifying moment, and this is why I say it happened on the camping trip, because it's been a really long time since I've gone and done things just for myself and not, oh, I need to shoot some stuff for Instagram or like capture some stuff for like a job I'm doing or anything. Like, I feel like it's so rare that I get to go and have these trips or camping trips or just get out into nature without feeling like that's a focus for me. And I did take photos and stuff like that, but not really. Like, I didn't even bust out my actual camera once, even though I brought it with me. And I was just like, oh man, it reminded me of what actually makes me happy. And I realized that, like, over the past 4 years or 5 years since doing this show, that's become less and less of a priority. And for some reason now, this show, even though I like really didn't have it be a part of my life, is suddenly now becoming a part of my life through this podcast. And I'm like, wait, I don't know if I want that. I don't know if I want that. Cool. I think about The Bachelor in Paradise Canada and I'm like, do I even want to talk about Bachelor in Paradise Canada? Do I even really want to have anything to do with the Bachelor Canada franchise? Like, honestly, I don't think so. Honestly, I don't think it has brought me many good feelings over the last while. I don't know if I really want to. I think there's other things that you and I could do that don't involve this. And like, listeners who are here and hearing us say this, if that's not something that you jive with, that's totally fine. And I mean, we obviously still have to figure this out. Maybe we see it through this season and we go from there. Maybe it gets better. Maybe it gets more interesting. I don't know. And I'm not even saying that it's a sucky season. It's actually not sucky at all. I just think that no matter how unsucky the show is, it's still not that good. I like having this podcast. I think that like the best part is when we're not even talking about the show.
I could not agree with you more. It really, you know, I don't know that woman, the designer woman that is like, you know, what sparks joy. I don't know who that is, but she's 100% right.
Marie Kondo.
Marie Kondo, yeah, she nailed it.
I mean, but without further ado, let's jump into this episode.
This high energy episode. I do have a lot of notes, and it's a good episode, and I just like Katie so much, but let's just jump in. I mean, right off the bat, it starts with old Thomas fucking being a dick and weird, and I mean, he says he's being ostracized by the group, and maybe this isn't shown again by the producers in the cut, but he's like, oh, they're ostracizing me. It's like, well, you're not trying to get back into the group. You're not trying to explain yourself.
That's true. I kind of thought about that, too. I was like, why don't you just say, like, hey, dudes, sorry that you got this impression. I would love for us to make peace here in this situation. But maybe he did. Maybe, like you said, it wasn't shown. That could very well be.
Yeah, absolutely. But it starts out with this dude running around their New Mexican ranch. And
are they just in New Mexico? Did we figure out where they are?
We figured it out. They said it. And I was like, oh, New Mexico. I was like, okay. Oh, okay. That makes sense. Oh, my God. Right,
that, okay,
sure.
So then that ties so much into when, I mean, this is skipping ahead, but when Blake shows up and he's wearing freaking a jacket that Walter White would wear. I posted on Twitter and zero likes, but I was like, Walter White?
He's dressed like a chain smoker, like one of the chain smokers.
I'm sorry that I'm not hip enough to understand that reference.
I know, but it's like a douchey, it's douchey.
Anyways, jumping back to the start of the episode, like you said, Thomas is running around. Does he like fall? Was there like a little like moment where he trips or something? I don't know.
He jumps over the fence. Oh. And it's like, he just does things that are douchey, and it's just like, bro, like, this is easy. This show is, at its root, pretty easy, and that you don't act like an asshole, don't make enemies, don't be combative, focus on why you're there, and hopefully if the reason you're there is to fall in love, it should be natural. But also the biggest thing is none of these guys are saying the golden phrase, which is, I'm here to see if this is a viable option. And if it isn't a viable option with me, I just want you to be with the exact right person.
Mm.
They're all like, it should be me. That's so true. They're already talking about falling in love. And I'm like, you guys have spent like fucking 3 hours with this person. Because I know how this fucking show works. It's so weird. Oh, I'm falling in love. I'm like, as soon as you say that, off the show. Like, fuck you. Like, well, no, you're not.
It's almost like it could be either that they feel like this is a card that they should pull because it will get them further along with her, which again is like exactly what you're saying, right? Or they really feel like they are because they're in this bubble of love. You have nothing else to think about, and you might actually think you are. Mm. I don't know. Have you ever like obsessed over somebody? You know, maybe it's that, but I don't know. So group date.
Yes. Group date, I loved it. Really weird because she's not involved in this date, like one-on-one at all.
Oh yeah, that's true.
She's just on the couch with her two best friends, the host of the show, just hanging out, and she's just watching these guys do shit together. I'm like, these guys are gonna fall in love with one another. They're just these guys spend more time with the other dudes in the house than they do with her.
That's so true.
By equating that, that's why the bisexual game would, making a season that's everyone's bisexual would be so great.
That would be great.
So people would pair off and they would forget about the main person.
There just shouldn't even be a main person. Okay, I just also, like, it's so funny because they can't leave, they can't travel. So this is like the past few seasons, or past couple seasons, I guess, since COVID, where it's like, okay, you can't travel, so now you just have to be on this ranch, and all these dates are like made up by the producers. They're just like, well, we'll just like make this date, and it ends up being so weird. It's like so homemade. Anyway, so they do this food eating challenge thing or whatever, and Mike P has to eat like 400 Twinkies, and he's like, I haven't had carbs in 7 years, bro. And then it's funny, I guess. Is it funny? I don't know. Like, it's Trey not. Gets his butthole waxed at some point. What else? I mean, I have so many all notes, but I'm like, what is there again, even to say? Again,
it's like, there's so many guys on the group date that if they were to have, like, maybe four guys, and they all had different challenges that maybe coincided a bit more to their own weaknesses or something like that, and then she went off with each one of them for, like, a 20-minute date in which they went through each one of these challenges, like, oh, Mike B hasn't had a carb, so we're going to make him eat Twinkies. Like, the fact that he was like, oh, I haven't had a carb in 6 years or however much it was, and they make him eat Twinkies. So I was like, that's producers. They know that shit. Like, there's no way they didn't say pick the middle plate there, because it's the fucking Twinkie. It's the thing you don't want to eat. I mean, I guess they were all carbohydrates, but I'm like, this is so weird. What a dumb challenge. Eat a huge plate of pasta. It'll show how much you like her. Like,
and she actually said these words, Cole, which I have to assume were like edited this way, maybe, because I can't imagine her saying this. I wrote it down to the best of my recollection, okay? For me, the pepper test is the ultimate test of who I'm looking for.
What? And I was like, I want someone to eat a habanero and then propose to me. What the fuck?
Like, she was then went into explaining why, but I was like, that can't be true. This can't be the ultimate show of who you're looking for, the pepper test. That just can't be. Anyways, the
pepper test.
And then Greg says some dumb quote that is, my tongue is not just on fire. It's more than that. It's burning.
It's bad. Burning. I'm like, it's kind of the same thing, Greg.
Oh, jeez. All right. And then, I mean, there's not much more to go into. I thought Trey was really funny. I thought that the interaction between Trey and, I'm going to forget his name now. I think he went home tonight, unfortunately. Blonde guy. It was really funny when he waxed his bum. But then Trey, you know, started focusing a lot on wanting to let Katie know that Thomas was not there for the right reasons. Ugh. So then it sort of turned into that. They got
What are your opinions on that? Not to butt in there, but You know, the guys were a little bit of a mixed table, and I think it was Andrew S.
Mm-hmm. He was like the only one who didn't seem...
Yeah, he was like, really? We're doing this again? Like, do you have no... And I agreed with him 100%. I was like, he was like, you don't think the person we're all vying for and we're apparently all obsessed with, you don't trust her enough to be able to tell and see through this guy's bullshit? Mm-hmm. She has to be told everything. She's not a useless person. Like, come exactly. on.
That's so true. And I also think, like, why... I think I did like him doing that. I liked him saying that. I liked him, like, putting his trust in her that she could figure it out on her own. And I also think it is, like, part of it that she needs to figure this stuff out on her own. And coming forward with it just sort of takes away from everyone else. But there's another side of that, I suppose, because she had shown appreciation for this in the past, where she liked having the guys have her back and look out for her. So I can understand why Trey felt like he should do it, and I can also understand Andrew S.'s desire to stop him. And I agreed with Andrew S. I also feel like that's not something that often gets expressed. Like, the guys normally don't say, like, hey, dude, let her figure it out. So I liked seeing that.
It happened
that,
in your season, what, once?
Yeah, right?
And it was this big bombshell, and it's happened fucking like four times already. Well, I'm like, we're 3 weeks in, it's happened four times.
I know.
This is too often. The thing that I don't like about it is it sets a precedent that she believes what all these other guys are saying.
Yeah, that's true.
I feel like the rest of the season is just going to be guys convincing her that another guy's a fucking douche. And I'm like, sell yourself. Get to know this person.
That's true. That's going to be super annoying if that's the case.
And they're not seeing that. They're blinded by all this craziness.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
It's so fucking gross, and I hate it. I don't like it, Jasmine. I don't like it.
Okay, well, on a lighter note, Andrew S. brings her Taco Bell, and if you really look up close, you'll see that there were actually some Lunchables, like on the plate. So it was like Taco Bell tacos and
they
Lunchables.
They called themselves foodies.
And then they called themselves foodies, and I was like, excuse me? Then they kiss. They have a kiss. She also talks to Greg. Greg says that he's, like, she tells him that she's falling for him. Mm-hmm. Which is pretty big. And I'm like, okay, again, I think that he's probably going to end up with her. Or he's going to be second at the end and get his heart broken. Hard to say.
Real quick note. With the whole Trey thing and him explaining the whole thing. He was in the right for so long. My notes say, Trey, don't do it. And then he's flying too close to the sun. It's going to backfire. And then I said, he's going to say something that's going to change the perception of his intentions.
Yeah. I know, and he's such a great person. Like, I think he would have just got the rose anyway. But I agree with you that he shouldn't have. And I have this written in my notes, too, that, like, okay, yeah, he decides to confront her. He, like, makes that decision. It seems like the other guys are on board with him doing that, except for Andrew S.
Yeah.
And then, she gives Trey the rose, so he's rewarded. Like you had mentioned before, it sets his precedent. Precedent. That if you rat on someone, you're going to be rewarded and you're instantly also going to be believed. Because it seems like each time this has happened, she's not really given the other person the benefit of the doubt. She's mostly just believed the person who told her. And it's not like she's been wrong, but it's kind of scary because it's like, okay, well, someone could do that and not have any evidence to back it up, because it's not like they had provided evidence in any of these cases anyway. Yeah, but anyway, so it's all just a bit repetitive. But anyway, back at the house, they're done with that little group date cocktail party. They describe Thomas as public enemy number one. And then there's a little moment where Tayshia comes in and talks to Katie. And this is where she drops the bomb that she's got someone from her past who's interested in being a part of the show and meeting Katie. And now Cole is rubbing his scalp and eyeball with stress. So
I fucking hate Blake.
Why?
Fuck Blake.
I do
Blake.
Not hate him. Why do you? Why? You don't know
he
him?
He is a clout-chasing whore.
Oh, my God.
I'm just going to take everything you know about this person, because I don't know who this person is. It's a brand new person to me, whoever season
it was.
He was
very briefly on the last season where there were two bachelorettes. So that's why they say that he's dated three bachelorettes. It's not, he hasn't actually.
Sure.
Anyways, he was not there for very long, so we don't know him that well.
Anywho, this guy has been on the show technically twice. He's dated two of the bachelorettes, dated, again, in parentheses. The issue I have with it is that he's saying, oh, you know, I saw you, and I'm really, like, really into you, and I really like how you're doing all this, and you're so beautiful, and all this different shit, and I just knew I had to pursue it. And I'm like, no. You knew you had to pursue it because she's on TV. There are millions of women in the world. And you're like, oh, no. The one I want just also happens to be on a show I've already fucking been on.
And to add to that point, Cole, which is mm-hmm. a good one, is that he could have pursued her before she became the Bachelorette. Like, I think it happened pretty quickly that she became the Bachelorette, and maybe by him sliding into her DMs like they said that he did, maybe he was kind of trying to. So all that is just, like, hypothetical. Sure. But yes, it's like, yeah, there are many other women. It's like, no, I hear you.
Fuck that guy. That guy's okay. A loser.
I'm still going to give him the benefit of the doubt because he's Canadian, and I think he seems like a nice guy. Regardless, okay, yeah. I'm not going to say anything.
That's what the show
more.
Should be called. It should be called Benefit of the Doubt. I'm like, oh, are you here for me? Well, not 100%. No one is there for you 100%.
That's true.
They wouldn't be on the show if they were. So, because, you know, and I wrote this down on a past note. I just remembered it because it applies so heavily to this episode. I wrote down, would any of these people, so if I were to, if I was a billionaire and I had ultimate control and I had this huge mansion and I found this amazing girl and I brought her and I said, hey, I want to bring like 20 dudes in here and I want them all to vie for your love and I'm going to fund the whole thing. You're all going to stay here and there's going to be all these different dates and there's roses, essentially the exact same premise of the show. And then they're like, oh, that sounds good. Is it televised? Is this immediate? No. None of it's televised. No, none of these fucking guys would be there. None of them.
Yeah.
So there's always the precedent that they're on there because it's on TV. Even if they are looking for love, if they're
for sure. There's like that back, that there's that underlying, you know, like, oh, but this is also a thing that gets to happen while I'm looking for love with this person. I also get to be on TV. Like, absolutely. I think there's definitely no argument there.
I feel like they all hate Thomas because they see a little bit of themselves in him.
Mm-hmm.
Boom.
And it's so crazy, Cole, because as I'm looking through these notes, like, I hate to be so pessimistic and, like, negative in this podcast, but, like, I don't have hardly anything more written down because, like, nothing really happens. Like, next I have the rose ceremony begins. Like, what? We're already there? Because nothing happened.
Nothing happens.
Thomas isn't at the rose ceremony there. Like, the guys are waiting at the cocktail party. He isn't there. He knocks on Katie's door. He gives her this speech that seemed to be entirely memorized.
Yep.
She seems skeptical, but she's sort of, you know, like, brought in by his charm. And I think that since she had such a strong connection with him and really liked him, she wants to believe. Like, you always want to believe that they're not a piece of shit. So that's kind of happening. And then I'm just going to run through this, like, unless you want to jump in with anything.
I only have one comment.
Okay.
And it's after Thomas has this whole fucking conversation with her and he walks back in, blah, blah, blah. I think Aaron is giving a one-on-one interview. And he uses this weird fucking analogy that I wish I would have written down. I can't pause this because I'm watching it live. But he makes this analogy about global warming and somehow relates it to Thomas. Like, what are you talking about?
Oh, he's global warming. We don't need any more of that. I'm like,
okay, I guess. I mean, what the fuck are we talking about right now? They're all going crazy on the show. None of them. I think Courtney is the most level-headed person, but he hasn't been interviewed at all.
And he hasn't had any time with her.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't have any time with her at this cocktail party, the rose ceremony situation. Yeah. Like, heck. Anyways, yeah. Oh, Thomas returns. There's more. Okay.
Sorry, one more thing. Thomas has this whole thing with, he might have said it after he came back out, and he's kind of talking to all of them. After he had the conversation with Katie, at before the rose ceremony, essentially at the cocktail party, which they don't even have a cocktail party anymore because the mood is so dampened with every episode. The cocktail party's like, they cheers, and then they're like, all right, guess we'll go fuck ourselves, and they just get eliminated from the show. There's hardly any time for these guys to actually
you know, talk with her and hang out with her, which again goes to the point that these guys are falling in love with her, but they've spent like conservatively 3 hours maybe with this person one on one. That's like Greg, the guy who went on like a one on one date with her.
No, has
spent
true.
Probably the most time with her, and it's nuts. But anyway, Thomas uses a word which is demonstratized.
Yeah.
Which
I was going to write that down, but I was like, is that a word?
It's not.
Demonstracized.
According to my phone and the dictionary,
demonstracized, I think is what he said. Like,
demonstracized. He said
demonstracized.
Demonstratized. Demonstratized. So, I don't fucking know. But anyway, rose ceremony, rose removal, okay?
Yeah, rose removal ceremony. Sorry, I forgot that that's what Cole calls it.
Yeah, it really comes down to the end of the rose removal ceremony, and she has the final rose, and she brings Thomas up, and everyone's, oh, God.
Are we already there? Is
oh,
there
we're fucking there. This
happened?
Episode happens in 14 minutes. I swear to God, nothing happens in this episode.
Okay. I mean, we have to remember that she talked to Canadian Brendan. She talked to Michael A., who we love, the sweetheart. Yes. Like now you can return back to where we were, because that's all that happened.
Tuning back in to Rose Removal Ceremony. We're coming back on to Thomas, who is seemingly selected for the final rose, and all the guys, I mean, fucking Aaron says, oh, fuck. Like, it's like, really, this bothers you that much? If you guys really think this guy's a fuck, and you believe in this girl, and you're falling in love with her, then you would go, it's gonna figure itself out. You guys
Or if she wants to be with him, then she wants to be with him.
Exactly. If you're not her father, you're not like a parental guidance, you're not supposed to tell her what to fucking do. She's an independent woman, so it's like, why? They have all this weird controlling things, all of them, and I don't think they had it before the show started, but it's like a frat house in there. They all get onto the same idea that they have to do the same thing. They're becoming less and less individualistic, so it's really weird to see them all have this crazy group mentality, this mob mentality almost.
Yeah.
And she invites them up, they're all fucking shocked. And he steps right up to her, and she goes, boop, boop, and steps back. And she was like, I almost wanted to be like, no. Because she just, I literally was like, this is what I wrote. I said, I was like, Thomas gets the rose. And then it was just a commercial break. And then she is like, you're selfish. You're a piece of shit.
She didn't say that. She said,
you're a fuck.
No, she
and
said
no one likes you, and that includes me, and this is the end of your audition for The Bachelor. Goodbye. And he just goes and just walks away. Doesn't even have a final word.
I know, it was pretty awful. I mean, she didn't say those exact words. She said that you're selfish, oh, no,
that's
unkind,
a direct
and a
quote
liar.
From Katie.
But, okay, yeah. But yeah, that's exactly basically what happened. And then he does just kind of give her this weird look, and then he leaves. There was no real reaction from anyone after that. It was sort of weird. Like, there was no, like, conversation had amongst the guys. There was no conversation, really. Unless I'm insane and I miss this, but, like, I feel like she didn't even discuss it really afterwards. Mm. It pretty much, at that point, cuts to her going and tracking down Blake, because she's obviously going to give him that last rose.
Which, I didn't understand that. The rose ceremony ends. All the guys are like, great, we're still on. She leaves. She goes to the same hotel they're staying in, the same ranch. And I was like, I literally am thinking in my head, he's going to open up and not be ready to see her. And it's going to be charming. And maybe he's naked. Maybe he's just wearing boxers, or he's fresh out of the shower. There's going to be some like, oh, you caught me at a wrong time. The fucking
chances
of that.
I also think it was so late, because there was at one point in the cocktail party when Thomas came back, they had said that
it
was
midnight.
So
it was probably like
2-3
in the morning.
Oh, yeah. At least.
Okay. Maybe I'm an asshole. Maybe I look too far into this. The show kind of does that to you. But anyway, anywho, she knocks on the door and says, oh, what's going on? Oh, whoops, I wasn't expecting to see you. They have this little conversation. Katie's great. Blake's a fuck. And he is like, great, I'm going to be on the show. And that's pretty much where the episode ends. And then we see the sneak peek on the next few episodes. Turns out Blake's a fuck, according to
what
everyone
do you
else.
Mean? Well, no, they're upset because someone new is coming in. Of course that's going to happen.
Okay, yeah, I mean,
You're right.
Yeah, but we don't know. I mean, he doesn't seem that bad. He doesn't seem that bad to me. But again, like, we both have different opinions on this, and that's fine.
He looks like John Travolta's illegitimate child. So
Danny Zuko is one of my biggest crushes.
Yeah, he's a good-looking guy.
I don't like Blake. That's the end. That's the real truth.
Don't like Blake.
And that's fine. You might change your mind.
I wrote hashtag team fuck Blake.
Oh, gosh. Okay. So... All right. Well, I mean, honestly, that's it. That's it for this episode. Okay, so again, let's just reiterate this, and I know we've never discussed this, but I feel like we're both on the same page. I am, like, not opposed to either finishing out this season just for the heck of it, which maybe we might as well just do, but also, I kind of want to start doing something else, and it might not even be this podcast. It might be a different one, or maybe we just switch this podcast altogether. I really don't know, but there's definitely a part of me that's, like, not feeling that excited about this, also not feeling that fulfilled, and to be honest, it doesn't make me feel good. So I am feeling in my gut like I don't really want to continue with this, but I also just think maybe we should give it one more episode. Let's see how it goes. Would love to get your guys' opinion. Like, I mean, in the end, you guys might want us to continue, and we're just not... Probably, we just might not.
Maybe you guys like this more than we do. I think this will probably be our last season, realistically.
I think that for sure. I think that this will probably be the last season of Bachelor-related stuff, and you never know what'll happen. But I think that there's other things that we can do that'll be more interesting for everyone involved. And also, like, I'm not involved with it anymore. I have no desire to be involved with it anymore. I thought for a bit that I did, and I've realized that, like, I super-duper don't. And I just kind of want to, like, clear it from my life in total.
Yeah.
So I'm a little bit at that place. And a bit of that came from my time in the mountains and in, over the weekend, and just, like, having a little bit of a, you know, reconnection with myself and being like, what actually makes me happy? Wait a second. What makes me not happy? Wait, why is this suddenly becoming a thing for me? Like, I just don't know if I really want to do that. So I just feel that we will figure it out, Cole, and we will continue for as long as this makes us happy. And if it doesn't make us happy, then we won't keep going. We'll find something that does.
Yeah. We didn't get into this podcast to monetize it or anything. Mm-hmm. We weren't looking for some, like, crazy newfound success. It's mm-hmm. more so just because Jasmine and I like chatting, and we realized that the conversations were kind of funny, and some people might want to hear that, as narcissistic as that might sound, but it's kind of, that's why anyone starts a podcast. So mm-hmm. I think it would just be more worth our time that we focused on things that actually bring joy to our lives, because I think that translates into what you guys consume from us. You'll get a lot more out of it if we're also into it.
Well, that's the thing, because, like, I think that what I like about our conversations is that you make me laugh so much, and that we have ridiculous conversations sometimes, and this is just, like, not really inspiring any of that for me, or you, I'm sure, so we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. We'll take it week by week, but we won't leave you guys. We'll be here, but we just don't know in what capacity that will be. anyway, so I guess that's it for the fucking episode. This is the worst episode in the history of the world, but... So anyways, I guess we'll sign off, and we will keep you updated on our plans, our life plans. And Cole, I hope you stay temperate, and I hope that you don't die.
And, dude, I gotta, hold up. I think
I can see, do you have a line of sweat dripping down your arm?
Yeah, no, there's about 35 beads of sweat right here that are just, I'm like, it's a sauna in my room right now. If I were to measure, I would say it's probably about 102 degrees in my room.
Okay, I'll let you go. All right, see you later, friends. Bye.